Abba Yaga's Black Geese. A long time ago, in a faraway land, where the hands of the clock had ceased to command, there lived two children who went by the names of Olga and Sergei. A particular day, Olga and Sergei were playing out in the orchard. Climbing the trees, picking apples, playing hide and seek, you know the type of thing. When, all of a sudden, they heard the bellowing voice of their terrified mama calling down to them from the house. Olga! Sergei! Get indoors quick! We've just heard Baba Yaga's black geese have been seen round here. Now, if you don't know about Baba Yaga's three black geese, I better tell you. Baba Yaga has three dark-winged servants who fly around the world searching for delicious-looking children for Baba Yaga to eat. If you ever see them, be sure to hide. They'll have you in their beaks quicker than you can say Abra Alakazambi. Even if you could say it, no magic in the world could save you. Olga and Sergei came indoors just as their mama had asked and settled down in their bedroom to read and play chess. Now, as you can best imagine, on a nice day when the sun is shining and there isn't even a hint of a northeasterly wind, it's very boring to be playing indoors. So, having never really experienced the power of Baba Yaga, the children start talk about what they would like to play in the orchard when the geese had gone. When their mama and papa called upstairs to say they were going to the market to get sugar buns for tea, the children waited until their horse and cart were out of sight and crept outside to play. Sure enough, from high in the sky, three black geese looked down to the ground and saw two delicious-looking children to eat and swooped down. Grabbing Sergei by the scruff of his neck, they pulled him high into the sky and off towards the deep, dark woods. Olga, who'd only managed to escape by diving under a prickly bush, knew what she had to do. As quick as she could, she put on her best running shoes and set off towards the deep, dark woods. She ran and she ran and she ran like the wind until, in a high, gurgly kind of a voice, she heard,
"Olga! Olga! Olga!"
"I haven't got time to stop," shouted Olga. "I'm in a rush to get to the deep dark woods to save my brother Sergei from Baba Yaga." But when she looked down to see what had been making this peculiar little noise, there she saw a tiny silver fish. The poor thing had been swimming along quite happily down the river, flicking his tail and jumping up to see the beautiful wheat fields that flanked the water, when accidentally he jumped too high and landed on the bank. Now, being a kind person, Olga bent down, picked up the fish in the palm of her hands, gave it a kiss, and gently dropped it back into the river. The fish darted to the bottom and popped back up with a present. It was a shell. And the fish said, "As you have helped me, so I shall help you. If ever you find yourself in trouble, take this shell, throw it over your shoulder, and I will come and help you." "Thanks," says Olga, and she put the shell into her pocket, and again she set off towards the deep, dark woods. She ran and she ran and she ran like the wind, until, in a chirpy, yappy kind of a voice, she heard,
"Olga! Olga! Olga!"
"I haven't got time to stop," cried Olga. "I'm in a rush to get to the deep, dark woods to save my brother Sergei from Baba Yaga." But when she looked down to see what had been making this bizarre little noise, she saw a very anguished-looking squirrel. The poor little thing had been bounding around in a field full of plum trees belonging to an old and very grouchy farmer when he accidentally put his foot in one of the farmer's rabbit traps and he couldn't get it out. Being a kind person, Olga bent down, pulled open the trap and freed the squirrel. The brown furry creature limped his way up the nearest oak tree and came back down with a present. It was an acorn. And the squirrel said, "As you have helped me, so I shall help you. If ever you find yourself in trouble, take this acorn, throw it over your shoulder, and I will come and help you." "Thanks," says Olga, and she puts the acorn into her pocket, and again she set off towards the deep, dark woods. She ran and she ran and she ran like the wind, until in a squeaky, squally kind of a voice she heard,
"Olga! Olga! Olga!"
"I haven't got time to stop," snapped Olga. "I'm in a rush to get to the deep dark woods to save my brother Sergei from Baba Yaga." But when she looked down to see what had been making this annoying little noise, she saw the tiniest animal of all. A very bad-looking field mouse. Now, someone had been moving around stones and boulders to make a wall around a field, and he'd accidentally covered up the mouse's hole. Being a kind person, Olga bent down to the boulder, grabbed it with both hands, and pushed and pushed and pushed! And the boulder rolled away, and the tiny mouse gleefully jumped down its hole and came back up with a present. It was a stone, and the mouse said, "As you have helped me, so I shall help you. If ever you find yourself in trouble, take this stone, throw it over your shoulder, and I will come and help you." "Thanks," says Olga, and she put the stone into her pocket and went on again. Only this time, she could run no further because she was already on the outskirts of the deep, dark woods. Well, I don't have to tell you, you of all people, what it's like inside these woods. The trees are so densely packed together, it's almost impossible to see. Strange, slithery creatures slide across your feet. Spiders, dropping from their webs, scuttle through your hair and scamper across your face. The trees seem to be talking to one another, making plans to trip you up and gather you in their creepy hollows. And the worst of all, the smell. It's like rotting turnips roasting over a fire of pickled warthogs. Through all this, Olga crept, hoping against hope that she could find Baba Yaga's house in time. Suddenly, there in a clearing, she saw it. But Baba Yaga's house is no ordinary house. It stands on three chicken legs. It moves and it talks.
"Go away," said the house. "Baba Yaga will surely eat you."
But Olga knew what she had to do. She climbed up onto one of the legs and pulled herself up into the house. And there she was, Baba Yaga, asleep in her rocking chair, snoring like a troll. Now, if you don't know what Baba Yaga looks like, I better tell you. Baba Yaga has long white hair that comes all the way down to the floor. In it live some of the strangest creatures alive. Sometimes she'll just pick them out of her hair and crunch on them with her long red fangs. Her nose is long and crooked, with twists at the end like a helter-skelter. From it drips the most disgusting green slime. She lets it drip into a bucket, and when it's full, she sucks it up in one big mouthful. Baba Yaga has two pointed ears, full of fur, rather like a badger's, only hers are full of treacly wax, which run down her cheeks to her chin. She wears a green pointy hat and a long green cape that hides her bony arms and her long bony legs. Now, as you know, Baba Yaga, more than anything else in the world, likes to eat children. Sitting next to Baba Yaga, too scared to move, was Olga's brother, Sergei. Knowing what she had to do, Olga tiptoed right up to Sergei and whispered,
"Baba Yaga's asleep. Come on, we can make our escape."
As quietly as they could, the children slid down the legs of Baba Yaga's house. But Sergei was only halfway down when he slipped and crashed to the forest floor with an almighty bang. The three black geese, who had been perched on the roof in a deep slumber, woke up and squawked,
"Baba Yaga! Baba Yaga! Someone's taking your dinner!"
As quick as she could, Baba Yaga jumped to her feet and started to chase the children with all her evil might. With her long bony arms and her long bony legs, she reached out to grab the children when Olga put her hand into her pocket and she pulled out the present from the fish. Taking the shell, she threw it over her shoulder and, just like magic, a huge lake appeared with Baba Yaga stuck on one side and the children safe on the other. But do you think a lake can stop Baba Yaga? Bending down, she put her mouth right up to the water's edge and started to slurp. In one humongous mouthful, Baba Yaga drank the whole lake, and with her cavernous belly full of water, she started to chase the children again. With her long bony arms and her long bony legs, she reached out to grab the children when Olga put her hand into her pocket and she pulled out the present from the squirrel. Taking the acorn, she threw it over her shoulder and just like magic, a huge forest appeared with Baba Yaga stuck on one side and their children safe on the other. But do you think a forest can stop Baba Yaga? Opening her tremendous jaws, she started to eat the trees one by one until she devoured the entire forest. With her stomach full to bursting point, she started to chase the children. With her long bony arms and her long bony legs, she reached out to grab the children for the final time when Olga put her hand into her pocket and pulled out the present from the mouse. Taking the stone, she threw it over her shoulder and just like magic, a huge mountain appeared, one so big that its summit disappeared into the clouds, with Baba Yaga stuck on one side and the children safe on the other. Now, not even Baba Yaga, with a belly full of lake and forest, can eat a mountain this size. She had to turn around and walk all the way back to the deep dark woods without any children to eat for tea. Olga and Sergei ran back home as fast as their legs could carry them and got back inside just in time to see Mama and Papa pulling up in their horse and cart. "Olga! Sergei!" they called. "We're home! We've got sugar buns for tea!" Neither their Mama or their Papa ever got to hear the story of what happened to their children that day. But needless to say, whenever Baba Yaga's black geese were seen around those parts, Olga and Sergei stayed indoors with the door firmly shut.